All right. If you have your Bibles today, would like to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're still in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We've been in there for a little while, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be there in a little while longer. In about 2 weeks, though, we're going to be down a little bit further. And we're going to talk about what's wrong with husbands and what's wrong with wives. Uh-oh. But that'll be a while, so y'all keep coming till then. Amen? Now, if you would remember in the book of Ephesians, it's about the main theme is the church. And how the church is to run and how the church is to do. And in chapter 5 specifically, he begins to talk about our walk, our daily walk, our earthly walk, and how we're to intermix together. You know, here's the thing. I mentioned this a while ago when we talked about the fifth Sunday singing tonight. We're going to be meeting in another location. But Benville Baptist Church is not the building. It's the people. Amen? And the people is what makes up the church. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I can't think of a finer bunch of folks that I'd want to be associated with as a church family as you guys. Y'all have been a blessing to me. But the church is only as strong as the individuals. And this is our walk. This is the way we're to conduct ourselves. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 5, we started this and we talked about we walk in love. Everything we do ought to be seasoned or salted with love in our daily walk, in the way that we deal with one another, as we deal with lost people. Amen? You know, I've heard it said that people don't care about what the Jebusites and the Hittites and all those folks done until they know how much you love them. People need to know the love of Christ. And the way they're going to get to know the love of Christ is through our walk. Amen? And then we come to verse 7. That's where we're going to start our reading at today. We're going to read down to verse 14. I've read these verses already, but I'm breaking it down and looking at them a little closer. And in verse 1, it tells us that we're to walk in love. And verse, or point 2, if you will, our walk, we walk in the light. In verse 7, we'll begin reading. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things, or those things, which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Brother Bobby, would you lead our hearts as we pray?
Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the ones to come out of this place. Thank
Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For that we ought not to be partakers with them." Now, what does that mean? What is he talking about here? To really understand that verse, you got to kind of back up. In verses 3 through 5, it gives us a list of things that we're not to be partakers with. Now, folks, let me tell you, the word partaker, it implies or it has to do with having things in common. Or it is often translated to fellowship or partnership. So he says we're to abstain from something. We're not to have them in common. Amen? I don't mean that we don't have anything to do with lost people. That's the furthest thing from that. It means that we ought not have it in common. They ought to be a difference between... You go back and you study in the book of Exodus. And several times, whenever God would bring a plague, He said, for this particular reason, I'm going to put a difference between Israel, which is God's people, and everybody else. Folks, there ought to be a difference between God's people. There ought to be a difference between you and I than the world. And folks, let me tell you something. That's because they need to know that God makes a difference. Why would anybody want to get saved if we're all the same, if everything goes the same, and everything looks the same? Folks, let me tell you something. We have something the world needs, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid today, with many of us, our walk looks so much like the world that they don't distinguish between God's people and the world. And the Bible says that we ought not have things in common. Live like the world. Walk like the world. Now, I'm not going to go back and reread verses 3, 4, and 5. You can do that on your own. But verse 6, I want you to notice verse 6 real quick. I didn't read it because he tells us a warning in verse 6 that I don't want us to overlook. It says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." You mean, Brother Willie, you're telling me if I live like the world, God might not be very happy with me? I'm exactly telling you that. Amen. I don't want there to be any concern. You cannot live like the world and expect God to be okay with it. Period. You cannot say that I'm walking like the world and I'm holding hands with the world. I'm partaking with the things of the world. I'm become partnership with the world. I'm having fellowship with the world. God's word is plain on this, folks. He says that you cannot have fellowship with the world and fellowship with God and everything be okay. It's just not going to work. One of the, you know, well, we'll get to that a little later perhaps. But, so in verse 7, now in verse 7, he says, "For us not to be partakers with them." So the flip side of that would be that there's some things we ought to be partakers in.
Right.
Wouldn't you say that? So there's a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning about some of the things that we ought to be partakers in. First of all, we should be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." What a blessing that is. I want you to understand something. For a very long time, I used to think that this idea of salvation is just simply being saved from hell, and that's it. But folks, let me tell you, when you got saved, you got so much more than that. The Bible says that we were born into the family of God. We are made joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we have, are given us exceeding great, precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're to be partakers of that divine nature. You know what God's trying to do to you? Trying to do to me? He's trying to grow us, trying to shape us, that we can be more and more and more like Jesus Christ. You see, not only, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but not only is Jesus Christ our Lord, not only is He our Master, not only is He our Savior, but He's also our model. You think about that for just a second. In verse 1, backing up to verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God," and we talked about that word followers as mimickers, or imitators, and we're trying to be conformed to Him over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." We're to be transformed. What are we to be transformed into? Our model. What are, you know, I kind of liken it, Brother Donnie, to an artist. Whenever an artist is sculpting something, usually he has a model, and he's trying to mold that and to shape that sculpture into what he's looking at, or as the model. And Jesus is our model. Can I say this? We're to be His reflection. Our model's reflection. We're to take on Him. Something else that I don't want us to miss here. Is in these promises in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 6. I want us to see this. Let me find it here just real quick. I got ahead of myself a little bit, down to verse 8. You ever get ahead of yourself? One time, I preached an entire message before I thought to read my text. Amen? Well, that's not exactly true. I got about halfway through it before. Verse 8 is what I want us to see. "For ye were sometimes darkness." We spent some time on this the other day, but I want to go back and I want to reread this and re-show it to you. "For ye were sometimes darkness." It does not say, folks, I want everybody looking up here. Look up here real quick. Words have meanings. Order have meaning. God does not do anything by accident. And He put this in his Word. And this is how it reads. "Ye were sometimes darkness." Not in darkness. Right. You were sometimes darkness. What does that mean? You were lost. Without hope. Without light. But now, and I love this, "but now are ye light." Not that you're in the light, but you are light. And don't miss this. In the Lord. He's our source of light. Amen. All these light bulbs in here, they only make light because they have a power source. They don't create light. They have a power source. The moon, for example, you know them big, bright, full moons? The moon doesn't make light. It reflects light from the sun. It doesn't manufacture it. Folks, let me tell you something. When we talk about our walk in Christ, When we talk about our ability to live the Christian life, you don't do it on your own. You don't just pull yourself up by your bootstrap and make yourself better. But folks, let me tell you, you are light because we're a reflection of the light in Christ Jesus. Because He is in us. He doesn't surround us. He doesn't envelop us. When you ask Christ Jesus to come into your heart, He came into your heart and He took up residence in your heart, and you are now a new creature. You are no longer darkness that you were, but now you're light. You're no longer without hope, but you have the hope of the Son of God that shineth in your soul. In your very, very being. That's who we are. He says, sometimes you were darkness. And He tells us that so we'll never forget. Because when we look at a sinner and we witness to a sinner and somebody that's not doing right by our standards, we have to remember that some time ago I was just that dark. I was just that without hope. I was just that much in need. But now I'm light in Christ. And He makes a difference. Can I tell you, if Christ ain't never made a difference in your life, you hadn't met the same Christ that I met? I'm not being ugly today. I'm just being truthful with you. Whenever I got saved, and morally, by the world standards, Brother Donnie, I wasn't that bad of a guy. I really wasn't. You know, I might do stuff here and there, but I wasn't as bad as somebody else. But you know, when God got a hold of my heart and the Holy Spirit started dealing with my heart, I realized that I was darkness. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want it to sound like I was, when I got saved, all of a sudden God made me a great theologian, because that's not what. I barely knew what John 3:16 was. Whenever I knelt down and I asked Christ into my heart, I'm not even sure I said all the proper words. But I know this, that when God dealt with my heart, all my excuses went out the window and I knew I was darkness. Because, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. Whenever God deals with you, He's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you. And let me tell you, He'll make a difference in your life. Whenever I got up off that floor at Catahoula Baptist Church and I accepted Christ in my heart, I wasn't baptized yet. I wasn't announced part of the church yet. But let me tell you something. Christ made a difference to me. In me. He says here in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Point 2 of our discussion, walk like you are, walk as children of light. Anybody ever watch the Andy Griffith Show? Come on, you can raise your hand to that. I like that show. I remember him getting on to his son one time about something, or telling his son. He says, act like you're somebody. Y'all ever heard that expression? Act like you got some sense. Now, that's one, I'm going to tell you, I'm very careful, because if I'm not careful, I'll tell them, some of them little knotheads on that bus, act like you got some sense, but I think their parents might be upset if I said that. So I kind of try to watch that. Because some of them act like they ain't got no sense. Amen? But let me tell you something. Sometimes God's people act like they don't know God. And He says here, that's exactly what the Word of God is telling you and me this morning, is walk like we are somebody. Walk like we have been changed. Walk like Christ made a difference. Walk in the light as He is the light. Let Him guide us. Let Him walk with us. All right, getting back to our... well, let me go on with this thought here. Verse 9, he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." We can spend some little bit of time right there, but we won't. We'll go on. But the fruit of the Spirit, we talked about that in Galatians. That's what God produces in us. He produces what's right, what's good, what's acceptable. In verse 10, by walking in the light, we prove what is acceptable unto God. I want you to understand something. I want you to take this home with you. That the Word of God says they are some acceptable thing and there's some unacceptable things to God. And He said that the world needs to know about what is acceptable. Now, how does the world know? We walk as the children of light. Our daily walk is important because people are watching the way we do things, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves. We're not trying to put on airs. We're just trying to show forth Christ in our lives. And He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Well, I had to quote the whole thing to do it by. I don't know about you, but whenever I quote verses, if I don't start from the beginning, I got to go back. Let me flip over there real quick so I don't mess this up. Well, I wasn't planning on using this scripture, but it's one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 2, verse 1 where I want to be at. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's where I was getting to. Which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed but to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So not only is our walk beneficial to us, it's beneficial to others, and it proves the will of God, that good, that perfect will of God. That the will of God is He moves us and leads us and directs us in our lives. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All right, hold on just a second. First of all, we're admonished, we're told what this list of works of darkness is, and that's in verses 3, 4, and 5. And we're told in verse 5, verse 6, don't be deceived by vain words and people saying everything's okay. And in verse 11, it says we have no fellowship. We're to have no fellowship with the things. We're not to be partakers. We're not to be part of. We're not to go along with it. But not only don't go along with it,
Christian brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to me this morning. We're to make a stand against it. That's what reprove means. Can I ask you something? Does your family and friends, your lost family and friends, know where you stand on some things? Amen?
That's right.
Do they know how you stand on certain things? I promise they do. The way you live your life, for a large part of it. But not only does the Bible teach us that we're to abstain. That's the word I was looking for a while ago that kept getting away from me. But it also teaches us that we're to reprove or stand up or stand against some things. Because the Bible says that the works of darkness is a shame for us to even discuss them. To bring it up, to speak of these things, which are done of them in secret. But in all things that are reproved or made manifest by the light, for whosoever doeth them whosoever doeth make manifest is light. And now, wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You want a better Christian walk than what you got? Do I want a better Christian walk than what I got? We're to abstain from the unfruitful darkness, works of darkness, and walk in the light of Christ through His Word, by leading of the Holy Spirit, and then watch God light up our world. You know, Moses, when he went up the second time to get the what we call the Ten Commandments, or the Table of the Covenant. And he made a simple request of God. He says, God, I want to see you. God said, you can't see me and live. No flesh can see me and live. Then God told him, but by me there is a place, there's a cleft in the rock. When I pass by, I will take you and I will place you in that cleft. And when I walk by, I put my hand over you. And when I get by, I'll remove my hand. You can see my back parts. Now, something unique happened. Moses come back down that mountain. As far as Moses was concerned, he was the same person that went up that mountain. But there was something different about him. The Bible says that the skin of his face shone. It glowed. It gave off that light because it was just in the very presence of very God, and it made a difference. Folks, you listen to me this morning. If you want a better walk with Christ, if I want a better walk with Christ, the only way that's going to happen is if we walk in the light as He is the light and just let Him reflect off of us. But let me tell you, Moses may not have known it. The Bible says that he wist not that his skin shone. He didn't know it. But Brother Kelly, everybody else around him did. Everybody else in town did. Everybody else that come up and saw him did, to the point where they had to take a veil and put over his face to tone it down a little bit. You want to know something? God wants to reflect off of us so that the whole world could see that God made a difference in our life. Amen. And how do we do that? One, we walk in the light. Amen. Let's have a song of invitation. And as our song leader comes, and our piano player and musician come, I want to ask you, are you walking in the light? Are you letting Christ have His way in your life? It goes so much more than just being saved from hell. If that's all God ever done for us, that's more than we deserve. And amen, He deserves our prayer just for that. But it's more than that. He brought us, Brother Danny, into His own family. And He made us part of His family, and we are now joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Are you walking in the light today? What's your number, brother?
Number 109. Number 109.